Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the You Haven't Heard This Productions and Publications Network. For more great shows and blogs and vlogs, please visit www.yhhtmpc.com.
Welcome to YHHTMPC.
Wait. What does that mean exactly?
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard this music podcast. A show about introducing lesser-known music of lesser-known artists from all over the world. And now, without further ado, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
And welcome to You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, a podcast about lesser-known music by lesser-known artists that we believe are as good, if not better than that, in the mainstream. If you can hear some singing behind me, it's my son who's playing on the phone. I've told him to be quiet, and he's doing the exact opposite of that. Aren't you, Kaelin? Yeah, please be quiet. If you don't mind. Cheers. As I said, this is a podcast about lesser-known music. This is season five. Is it episode seven, Wayne?
It certainly is episode seven.
Episode seven, side A. As always, lots of music, lots of fun, lots of banter and all that good stuff. Please go over to It's okay, guys. This is going to be edited. I'm going to make lots of mistakes like that tonight.
Have you pressed record? That's the first thing.
Yes, I've pressed record.
So you can do editing this time.
Yeah, last time, whole episode. I mean, we got right to the end. We was playing the artist spotlight. We was playing the song out. We was playing the song out. We was finishing. I looked and I thought, shit, I haven't recorded. So, yes, we were recording. But, yeah, as I was saying, lots of music, lots of fun, lots of banter. And, yeah, go to www.yhhtmpc.com over there. That is our landing page. That is You Haven't Heard This Productions and Publications. It is an ever-expanding network. We've got podcasts being added to it all the time. We've got new bloggers joining us. We've got new artists joining us. It's kind of like a community where like-minded people, creatives, and we just come together, and it's a place to be promoted, and that's what it is, and come check us out. With me, as always, my good friend, Wayne.
Hello, everybody. Hello, back again. Press record.
How are you? You good?
I'm good, mate. I'm okay.
Yes, I just want to say something before we carry on, Wayne,
Once a year we celebrate with stupid hats and plastic plates the fact that you were able to make another trip around the sun. And the whole clan gathers round and gifts and laughter do abound. And we let out a joyful sound and sing that stupid song.
Happy birthday!
Now you're 1 year older.
Happy birthday!
Your life still isn't over.
Happy birthday!
You did not accomplish much, but you didn't die this year. I guess that's good enough.
let's drink to your fading health and hope you don't remind yourself your chance of finding fame and wealth decrease with every year. Does it feel like you're doing laps and eating food and taking naps and hoping that someday perhaps your life will hold some cheer?
Happy birthday!
What have you done that matters?
Happy birthday!
You're starting to get fatter.
Happy birthday!
It's downhill from now on. Try not to remind yourself your best years are all gone.
If cryogenics were all free, then you could live like Walt Disney and live for all eternity inside a block of ice. But instead your time is set, this is the only life you get, and though it hasn't ended yet, sometimes you wish it might.
Happy birthday!
You wish you had more money.
Happy birthday!
Your life's so sad, it's funny.
Happy birthday!
How much more can you take? But your friends are hungry, so just cut the stupid cake.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Wayne!
Oh, that's so nice of you. It's not my birthday, though, but thanks.
But I mean, it's not your birthday.
I'm joking. It is.
That would have been really awkward. Right. I thought for a second it was one of them where somebody's put the wrong birthday on Facebook. It's the only reason I know it's your birthday because of Facebook. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had a clue.
I know. That's why I said it.
It's the only reason I'm still on Facebook, so as I can remember people's birthdays.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed the song.
Yeah, so did I. So Wayne, welcome. And you are well, I presume?
I'm okay. I'm all good, yeah. I'm happy to be back again.
Good.
Well prepared for this episode.
Yeah. Mike 5, how are they?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm good.
I just want to call you out, Mike. I'm just going to call you out, and I'm going to be honest. You said I'm going to be 15 minutes late because the chicken's bad and I've had to get a pizza. You used that excuse the other week on the New Music Saturday. Now, you think I don't listen to it, and I do, and I know you've used that excuse before, Mike. I remember hearing it.
It's not the first time that's happened. The thing is, right, it was in date. I mean, I'm literally sitting here with a nice Domino's pizza in front of me. The thing is, it was in date, and it looked all right, but I opened it up, and the smell, I cannot begin to describe to you. I sort of started cutting it up, thinking maybe it's just me, and then I thought, I'm going to poison my family, so maybe this is a bad idea. So I quickly ordered a pizza, but then I realised it wasn't going to arrive till we were due to start.
And there you go, people. Listeners, if you're trying to find a decent way to poison the family without getting caught, dirty chicken's the way.
Yeah, I'm sitting there, I've got a meat feast. My son's downstairs and he's got a pepperoni pizza, whatever they call it, pepperoni feast or something. Anyway, but I'm here. And happy birthday, Wayne. I had no idea because I haven't checked Facebook.
Thank you.
Have you had a nice day?
It's been fine. I like low-key birthdays, so let's just move on.
Excellent. All right, we'll keep bringing it up. We'll keep bringing it up. Every feature, we'll make sure we bring something up about your birthday. So that's
fine. Do you know what? We'll glaze over it. As long as you're happy with Jake's violence, that's what you'll get.
That's what most people do when I talk to them. That's fine. I'm all good. How are you, Richie? Are you well?
It's been a rough couple of weeks, as you know. I've had COVID again. My knee locked up the other week. I had to go to the hospital, because it's a bank holiday weekend, I've let myself go a bit this weekend. And you know, generally, I'm a very sexy person. And true. I just feel like I've let myself go a bit this weekend. I've just ate lots of cheese on toast and that kind of thing. And I haven't been to the gym for a week because of my knee. So back on it next week, back to my sexy self. But that's me in a nutshell.
maybe just like have a bath or something. That always makes me feel good.
Brilliant. And with us, we have a guest with us. We have two guests with us this week. I'm glad Barry did, because we're going to have Barry back, because we haven't actually done a full episode with him yet from Cyber Monday. I'm glad he didn't join us, because there'd have been far too many cooks for this broth. But we have joining us Catnip, and Catnip is made up, and I forgot the name that you said. I'm thinking Wesley, and I know it's not Wesley.
Henderson.
Henderson and Ariana.
So, yeah, joining me, I've got Henderson and Ari.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
If you did it.
How are you guys? You well?
Yeah, we're doing well. We're out in Spokane, where I live right now. Henderson is from Missoula, and we're now just switching back and forth, visiting each other and going through the rehearsal for our upcoming tour.
And we made a mistake. I read your email, and I read it in a rush. And so I thought we were going to be on at 8 a.m. our time. So we got up early, and then I realized I completely read it wrong.
Yep, not till noon. Not till noon. A little bit different, but...
We give you plenty of time to prepare.
We went out and had a Bloody Mary and watched people run around because there's a...
Yeah, there's a... Spokane every year has a famous marathon called Bloomsday. Mm. So we had the chance to be up early and watch people running around, being healthy while we're drinking Bloody Marys and listening to some live music. So it was fun.
I believe, Ari, you are a new member of the band.
Yes. Yep, I am... Only, I guess, been playing catnip songs for a couple months now.
Lovely.
I reached out to him a while back and wanted to be his drummer, and we met and didn't hate each other. And now it's kind of on our way to practicing the set list, and I think we're getting pretty comfortable with each other for the end of May when we'll start playing our first show.
I'm a drummer also, Ari, so there's that. I don't know what you want to make of that, but that's what I am.
This is just going swimmingly, this, isn't it?
Yeah, this is brilliant. Yeah, so now welcome to the show, guys. Hopefully, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on in. We're going to move swiftly on with the show. We're going to move on to our first section, which is the head to head. Okay, so this is the head-to-head section where myself, Wayne, and Mike Five, we bring some of our favourite submissions of the week. Mike, you're going to go first. What song have you brought?
Oh, wonderful. I brought a song called Barja Ray by a band called Kinara, and I'll tell you about that afterwards.
Yeah.
There you go. that was Canaro with Bargeray, or Bargery. I'll tell you a little bit about the band. So they are from Yorkshire. They're a band that says they take you on a journey from Yorkshire and land somewhere between North India and the Lower East Side, with bluesy electric guitar by John Hogg, Indian vocals by Satnam Gausian, and jazz drumming by Simon Henry. You will hear Punjabi language songs alongside Celtic songs presented in Canara's own urban electric arrangements. This is a band who I've heard a couple of songs recently. They've got an EP out which I've bought, and I think I only bought it the other day, so it hasn't arrived yet, on CD. And this is the second track from a future EP that will be released at some point, I don't know when, coming up. But I picked it because I really, really like them. I'm a big fan of bands like Fairport Convention and that sort of folky thing. I really like a lot of world music. This, I thought, put the two together in a really interesting and contemporary way. So that was Canara. Wayne, what did you think?
A bit left field, Mike, but in a really good way. It's got that lovely lo-fi, you know, indie film soundtrack nest to it. Obviously picking up the Indian Asian vibes right the way through. I was guessing they were fusing two or three genres together, so I sort of come up with Indian folk electronica almost, but there's no electronic in that at all. I love that guitar, how fuzzy it is, how it's almost overdriven and it's got that blues feel to it, so it sort of covers the absence of the bass. The bassy notes that come right at the end, I thought could have done with being earlier in the song, because it gives the song a vibrance and something else. It gives it more interest. And coming right at the end, I was expecting it to carry on for another verse or something. So I was a bit disappointed when it stopped, to be honest, because I was really into it. But yeah, really, really loved it. Really nice. Really interesting.
The guitar, for some reason, it kind of gave me like surf rock vibes, but with different genre completely.
I really liked it. I loved the different scales that music brings, and it had like that surf rock vibe, like Ari said. But also, I really like, I'm increasingly looking and hearing music that just has sort of, instead of chords, it has like, you know, nice little single note guitar parts. You know, so instead of like the Kinks or the Ramones or Nirvana with your jang, 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 which I do all the time, I'm trying to think more like Pretty Little Melodies. And that was really nice from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. Over to you, Richie.
It's nice, lovely. I like it when people bring different world musics to the show, because it's a different sound, it's a different feel, different textures. I like the way they're mixing it with it's Punjabi, but it's got Western influences in there. It's good, it's nice. Ruined, like last time. You bought a fantastic, beautiful song last time, which was ruined by the bloke wanking over the road. This week, I was wiping my son's bum while listening to it, so it's kind of tainted. Tainted slightly, but really good song, really enjoyed it. And from what you're saying, the album's quite eclectic, so one song isn't going to sound the same as the next.
I think that from the songs I've heard, there's definitely, they do a cover of She Moves Through the Fair, which is an old folk song, which is very different. And yeah, they've done a few other things.
For the first time, completely off the subject, great song. Go check out this band, by the way. You know, we'll leave all the links in the show notes and all that. Go check them out, go show them some love. If you like their work, buy their work, support independent artists. So I'm sticking it on Spotify, but buy their work also if you really like it. For the first time, Wayne, I know that our merch, by the way, you can buy merch, people. You can go to www.yhhtmpc.com and buy merch. Now, I know that the merch has been it's not been flying off the shelves, but people have been buying it. But I don't really pay much attention to it, because I pretty much sell it for nothing. I make pennies on it. I saw someone with our merch at the local shopping centre just the other day, and I wanted to go over to them and say, "That's my face on your shirt. That's my you're wearing my face on your shirt." And I did this because there was a Burger King. There stood in the Burger King line, so I thought, I don't want a Burger King. I'm going to go and stand next to them anyway and see if they notice. And they just looked at me like I was some sort of weirdo, because I'd be big grin on my face. Didn't notice it was me at all. No.
Probably just think it's a stock photo.
But if they're listening to this, and I assume they are listening because they bought the merch, that was me being weird next to you in the line in Burger King.
I'm willing to bet they got it
bootleg. I've no idea what it is. And so Alex, all right, put it on eBay.
Right, okay. Moving on. Wayne, I'm assuming you've brought a song.
Well, we have missed the section of the podcast, my man, I'm afraid.
Yeah, the Biss. We've missed the Biss. Wayne, do you want to do the Biss for me? Because I completely forgot it.
Yes, so the Biss is... I've totally forgot what the
is. Do you want me to do the Biss, Wayne? Because you forgot it.
Every time I forget it.
Okay, we're doing the Biss, which is Block, Ignore, Shout Out, Share.
And on the last episode, we didn't record. You decided on Jamie Cullum, so shall we stick with Jamie Cullum?
Yeah, we'll stick with Jamie Cullum.
Yes. Jamie Cullum, come on down, son. Have a listen to this.
Biss is Block, Ignore, Shout Out, Share. So I'm relentless. For those that don't know, I'm relentless when it comes to the promo. I promo the episode probably 4 or 5 times a day on different platforms. And I figured that if I can find a celebrity and tag them in everything and piss, it's either going to piss them off and then going to ignore me or block me, or they're going to be intrigued, listen to the show, find an artist they like and share that artist. And that's the idea. It's not about us. I mean, if they share us, that's fantastic, but I want the artist, I want the celebrity or the famous person to come on, find an artist they like and enjoy and share them on their socials. And that'll be a big boost for that artist, I think. So, yes, Jamie Cullum. For those who don't know who Jamie Cullum is, he's a famous, or used to, doesn't do so much now. Well, he probably does, but you don't hear so much of him. But he's a jazz musician and a modern contemporary jazz musician. Very good as well. The only thing I don't like about Jamie is the way he smashes the Steinway. Nobody should be smashing a Steinway. Just stop it. And definitely don't keep fucking standing on them. What is wrong with you? But other than that, you're a fantastic artist. Right, moving on. Wayne, your song.
You're less inclined to share this because you just insulted.
It's not. Wayne. I don't want him to share us. It's not about us. It's about the artist.
All right, fine.
Anyway.
Right, speaking
somebody's got to tell him.
Well, it might as well be you. Why not?
This is his face on one person's chest, and all of a sudden he's got this big fucking god complex. Jesus. Right, that's it. Right, I am bringing the Fiends with their song Small Talk. Enjoy.
That you blame.
So that was The Fiends with their song Small Talk. The Fiends are a five-piece alternative indie band from Swansea, Wales. The members of the band are Ethan Goslett on lead vocals, Ben Ballatyne and Seelan Williams on rhythm lead guitar, Josh Albrighton on bass and backing vocals, and Benjamin Quint on drums and backing vocals also. Right, nice and simple with this one, everybody. This was released on the 14th of February 2022, and it's quite blatantly nostalgia for me. It's rocking a late 90s, mid 2000s vibe, you know, the indie rock of it all. Think sort of Ordinary Boys and the Libertines when all that was in absolutely in vogue. But they do have a nice fusion of the sort of really big 80s indie rock bands as the same type, like a bit of I can't think of the Level 42-ish sort of, don't go, they sound nothing like them. There's just bits in there that sort of remind me of that sort of production. You know, they're not reinventing the wheel. I don't think they proclaim to either. It's just really well arranged, it's really well produced, and I just think it's a really great indie disco track. And it's one of them songs that's just quite feel good, probably with a really sad sad message to it all, but it's one of those, isn't it? Henderson and Ari, what do you reckon?
I actually heard a little bit of like Jarvis Cocker pulp in there as well. You know, that particularly in the front end of the song where he was kind of going off the meter of the vocal, you know, line and filling in some kind of almost spoken word before he started singing. And I also like the fact that he actually can sing, because at the beginning of the song, I wasn't sure he could. I'm on a war path now for all these indie acts that like are willfully bad singing, you know, like, oh, bless him, he's trying, you know, he could actually sing. Yeah. So I liked it.
Yeah. What I noticed straight off is just the kind of high energy of it. Definitely as the drums, I see what you're saying with it being so well produced. That's what stood out to me. It was like very thumpy kick, really clean drums, kind of bringing that energy across. Not that it was super fast, but just like kind of hitting you. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Mic five.
Yeah. I the beginning bit in particular, I really, really enjoyed because it reminded me. Jarvis Cocker's a great shout, by the way. Henderson, it did definitely have sort of pulp vibes, but it also had the band called Jet on their album Get Born. The opening track to that, there's a little bit where they sort of, you know, I don't know if they just left the mic on in the studio. It's sort of less, this one feels a little bit more planned, but they're just sort of chatting and you can hear someone, I think you can hear someone clinking a cup or talking about a cup of tea or something. And I really like those sort of little insights. This one felt like they were trying to replicate live, where they're kind of going, all right, yeah, let's go, and all right, no, slow it down a little bit, right, let's get into it. And then, like you say, you can actually sing, and then when the lead bit comes in, he's like, right, go. And I really like stuff like that, because, you know, this is probably not, like, right up there with my top 10 kind of, you know, favourite types of music. It's something I would enjoy and listen to all night and go out an indie club and, you know, start a mosh pit or whatever. But it's not necessarily in my... But songs like this, where it feels a little bit more, oh, actually, they're really enjoying themselves, makes me enjoy myself more. So I really, really like that. I thought that was really cool. He's a great vocalist and they're very talented musicians and it's a cool song. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. It's a good pick, Wayne.
Oh, oh, thank you very much, Richie.
If somebody had said to me, this is a song that was in the charts in the 90s, I'd have gone, yeah, it does sound familiar. I think I've heard it before. It sounds very familiar to a lot of the Britpop and the stuff that was going around in the 90s. Stereophonics. Oh, yeah. I think I'm getting that kind of thing. Very nostalgic. It takes me back to that era. When I just, you know, just left school, just started work about 96, 97-ish. Yeah. It's a good set. It's Britpop, but quite dancey. It's I liked it a lot. Really good.
Excellent.
So it's on to me. I'm bringing the same person I brought last time that I didn't record.
Richie's bringing Joy Zandi with her song Just a Feeling.
Yeah. That's what I'm bringing. Fuck you, Wayne.
Hey there, guys. I'm Joy Zonde from Toronto, Canada. I do pop and soul, but I'm mostly influenced by soft rock, R&B, and Caribbean music. Just a Feeling, it wasn't solely about feelings. It was a song about felines meeting in the rainforest, learning how to cohabitate with other animals. It was a time of adjustment in a new city, my first college hours away from home, and that's how I felt moving around. Just a Feeling was written in 2016. December was the time I was processing a lot of new emotions and adjusting. I was 19 years old in a cold Canadian winter, peering through my window when I became reminiscent of how I interact like a mystifying feline. While accompanied by a seductive saxophone over desirable soul organs, nubile percussion, and a voluptuous bass line, myself and the business, we strike with smooth adaptability as a collective. Listeners can find me at Joy Zonde, JOYXANDE, on all social platforms, or they can visit my website, www.joyzonde.com. The Joy Zonde community is colorful, funny, and welcoming. We'd love to have you hang out with us on our community playlist, or feel free to visit the Pinterest platform. That's where the creative and adventurous noise is. Joy Zonde, now streaming on all platforms. See you there.
Was Joy Zonde with Just a Feeling. I don't need to tell you anything about her because she did it herself at the start there. And I got her to do that because I don't like reading. But Joy Zonde did. It's true. I don't give a fuck. I sound like a 5-year old reading Spot the Dog when I read. So it has to stop. However, I don't know if you noticed that I'd obviously asked her to send over, you know, send over a sound clip of her telling me a bit about herself, which is what we do on the B-side. On the B-side of the podcast, that's what we do. We pick songs and people send a bit about them. That's basically what we do. With this one, though, that sounded like one of those deep fake AI things that she'd typed out what she wanted to say. It didn't sound like a real person, yeah. I didn't think.
Yeah.
There's like little glitches in there. It sounded almost robotic. Yeah, so this song, anyway, this was so soulful. The instrumentation was beautiful. Ari, as a drummer, you've got to appreciate those drums. Beautiful drums. Oh, yeah. Nothing overcomplicated. It was just beautifully done, if you know what I mean. Nice little rolls.
I liked the snare sounds.
Yeah, the sound. It was just such a nice tone to the drums. I think it was an alto sax. It wasn't overused. It was just enough. It brought it in just when it was needed, and then brought it right out again. It was in this type of music, sax and trumpet can be overused. It was just enough, and it was just beautiful. It's kind of like one of those you can just sit back and let wash over you. Enjoyed this an awful lot. What did you think of this, guys?
Yeah, what stood out to me immediately was that soulful feel. For some reason, it kind of took me back to being like a young girl in the 90s, like a kind of watching some pop star of some kind, being really feminine and wanting to look like her. That's kind of the vibes I got from that song. But of course, the drums stood out to me and the saxophone, mostly because I played with the saxophone for the first time last night during a little jam session, and it's definitely gotten me falling in love with that as a drummer and wanting to explore that and wrote a little bit too.
Henderson?
Yeah, I'm not a lover of kind of soft rock kind of stuff by and large. So it doesn't really do much for me, but it was really well produced, and she's got a lovely voice, you know, a really soulful voice. A good song, but it's not kind of my thing.
Yeah, that's the thing we've discovered on this podcast over the years. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's bad. Music's subjective at the end of the day. So even though we don't like something sometimes, doesn't mean that there isn't a million people out there.
I can't say anything bad about it by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just wondering, should I record things like that and send them to you, like, you know, talking about my music and
in a robot voice?
In like a robot voice?
I mean, you can. We'll use it.
Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. That's what I'm doing wrong.
No, don't do that. We like to try and keep it as natural as possible. But I think that we had you on the B-side, didn't you? I mean, you were in your studio, I do believe.
Yeah.
And that was nice and natural. I like that. That's what we want, a nice natural feel. I'm not saying that this was bad. You know, maybe she panicked. I sent over, can you send me a bit about yourself? Send a sound clip. She might have shit her pants. And thought, what am I going to do? And just typed it out and told, just send this. Which is fine. Yeah, it works. Great song anyway. And check all of the artists out. Check
so you don't give a shit what me and Mike think then?
Yeah, that's where I was going next. That's what I was meant to do. Wayne, what did you think of this? You cunt.
Let's start with the steward's inquiry. We do not do intros at the start. I think you're pushing your arm out.
You don't do intros at the start. I do now. That is what I do because I can't read.
I especially love the www dot.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's all jokes aside. I mean, it's just lovely new soul, isn't it? I love that new soul, that new jazz stuff. That it's just got a smoothness to it. There is no rough edges to this at all. And there's nothing to not like. It's got the summer feel, the summer vibes, the sunshine vibes right the way through it. You know, you can imagine yourself on a lovely sun terrace somewhere with a cool glass. This either being played here or pumping out over some speakers with the sun dropping down. I'm there right now, people. We're all there with me. The mix of instruments is always something that amazes me, and how they all marry together. It's a marvel to me how it does fit together. You know, that upright soul that's played throughout this is just lovely. It's just promoting. So they could have easily just gone with a normal bass. And I'm not saying this is an actual upright bass, but it sounds like it. It's just got that lovely feel. And like you say, the sax when that comes in, it's just that little bit of like sprinkling on the back end of the cake, you know, just to make it pop a bit more. Loved it. Nothing bad to say about it. Still loved it.
Lovely. Mike 5.
So, full disclosure, I thought that was the intro to the song. And I thought, what a strange thing to do to describe a song like that. Before you play it, I was like, I didn't think she was being pretentious. It felt quite sincere, but I wasn't sure if it was sort of part of the art. So now I understand that it wasn't. I really like it. But before that, I was very confused and unsure. It was a bit disorientating. And I wasn't quite sure what was happening, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure if I'd accidentally joined another recording session with someone else doing another podcast about cats. So that was quite confusing. But the song itself, I mean, I probably have to hear it again now, but the song itself I did really enjoy once it got past the intro. It's not to say I didn't enjoy the intro.
It was an intro, but it wasn't an intro to the song, Mike. It's not that when you buy the CD, if you buy the CD, that doesn't play before the song.
Well, that's what I thought was happening. So that's where it was confusing. I thought that was the beginning of the song. I don't know if anyone remembers when Michael Jackson released History, there was a 3-minute radio edit of that, and I thought, oh, that's good. And I bought the single, it was 8 minutes of drums with 3 minutes that you heard on the radio in the middle somewhere. It was very, very strange. And it was that sort of experience that I had there, very disjointed from what I was expecting. But that's nothing against the song and the artist. That's all on you, really, Richie. But
it was an experiment, it was an idea, I fell flat on my face, I won't do it again.
No, I'm not saying that, just, you know, I didn't know. Right, it's almost. I had no idea. I just thought, wow. And I wasn't sure if that was going to be it. You know, it sounded like that. There's a Radiohead song that's done in the computer voice, isn't there, on OK Computer? I wasn't sure if that was going to be the song. And then it went into this beautiful, soulful, sort of poppy bit of saxophone. Yeah, lovely. But I thought, God, that's a strange intro. But no, I understand it now. So, yeah, it was great.
Well, this episode has been a lot of cock-up so far. I do apologise, Catnip. Bless. Right, okay. So that's done. We're going to move on now to our next section. What is our next section, Wayne?
It is the wild card, baby.
Okay, so I've got my son kissing my arm. strange.
<I'm all> wild.
So the wild card. This is the section of the show where I go into the emails and I will flick through the emails, and at some point, one of our guests, either Ari or Henderson, will shout stop, and we will play the first song that we land on. So I'm going to go into the emails. Thousands of emails. It could be anyone. It could be anything. It could be an amazing song, and it could be absolutely diabolically bad. Okay, so I'm on the emails and I'm flicking through now. I'm flicking through. So when you're ready, you can say stop. Flicking through, flicking.
Stop.
Flicking. Okay. Right. We have Andre Nostalgic. I'm guessing that's not his real name. Hailing from the bottom of the map, Miami, Florida, Andre Nostalgic comes with an inspirational word, mixing it with old school rhythm and rhyme. Andre Nostalgic, born Andre Leo Brown, founded Bearded Tracks in 2016. It's where he produces and writes all of his music. After joining his middle school band at the age of 14, he developed a musical bug he just could not shake. Ever since that monumental moment in middle school, I'm surprised I got monumental out, many have praised him on his talent to play the baritone horn and compose music. Being that Andre Nostalgic is a very spiritual person, his church upbringing definitely comes out in his music. He credits the incomparable George Clinton and Earth, Wind & Fire as a few of his musical inspirations. When I create music, it is an unexplainable feeling, said Andre Nostalgic. It is something I love to do. It is my passion. Oh, God, you've got so much to say. Andre Nostalgic has a positive approach to his music, and most of the messages in his songs are about living life to the fullest and enjoying everything that it brings. Glorifying the love of Jesus Christ, praise Jesus, with smooth, calm swagger and an inspirational message, Andre Nostalgic is definitely the man to watch out for. Right. What are we expecting, Wayne? What are you expecting to get from this?
I'm going for some more soul. With a bit of gospel edge to it, definitely, that sort of thing, you know, lots of talk about Jesus Christ. but not in that sort of way, you know. I can't really compare. I guarantee there's about 6 million people over shouting at their devices now what I'm trying to bring across. But yeah, people of that ilk, sort of gospely, sort of solely that sort of, you know, James Brown-y sort of stuff.
I was thinking James Brown. That was what I was thinking, that kind of thing.
Especially with Earth, Wind & Fire as well. We're talking a bit of funk in there as well, and I'm all down with the funk.
Yeah, funky, quite energetic, bit of soul, bit of praise to Jesus and all that business. Yeah. lovely. Mike, what are you expecting?
I mean, if it sounds like anything you guys have just described, I'll be impressed, but I'm sort of expecting it to sound terrible, so we'll have to see.
Mike's not sitting on the fence at all.
No, I mean, I haven't heard it yet, so I'm not criticising the music. I'm saying my expectation is it'll be awful. I hope that I'm proved wrong, otherwise I'll have to grit my teeth and try and find something good or luck about it, but we'll see what happens.
I didn't even name the song, did I? The song's called nope. Fresh Out of the Box. What are you expecting to get from this, guys?
So I really want to like it. I love kind of funkadelic George Clinton bass on the one, you know. And I actually listen to a lot of soul music. I love like Al Green and Donny Hathaway and Otis Redding. I listen to so much of that music, like old school. So I'm actually cautiously optimistic. I think I might really like it.
I'm not sure. I'm kind of on the train of being a little more negative, I'd say. I feel like there might be some R&B, some soul attempt, but I'm curious if there's going to be any like rapping in it, and if it's going to be heavy on the spiritual train for Jesus Christ and myself. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm expecting a bit of slap of the bass.
Have you not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
No, I rejected him a long time ago.
I just put maybe.
I just put maybe.
I sort of went, you know, I'm probably not going to go to this gig, but I don't want to disappoint anyone. So I just put maybe on the Jesus Christ thing.
Okay, so this is Fresh Out the Box by Andre Nostalgic.
Gave us a vision, see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination. Ooh-wee, God gave us a vision, see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination. Crowd, be your own mouse, like Mickey Mouse, you can stand out, and a whole wide world will know who you are, shining star in outer space, ready to explore a different place, in a galaxy far, far away, on a planet undiscovered by Discovery Channel. Good evening folks, I'm your host for tonight, Andre Nostalgic, welcome to my first episode, fresh out the box, like Jack I Jump, hello surprise, ooh-wee, God gave us a vision, see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination, ooh-wee, God gave us a vision, see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination. A story about a girl named Jen, who dressed to impress and eat from the rest, focus on success, she was determined to be a college grad, not following the fads. Ha ha ha, hey, her fears would laugh, she had class, not showing her blank, to every guy in the hallway making a pass, think you all that? Of course, that's the reaction, when you add a positive and a negative equation, solve the problem outside the bracket, like numbers, stay inside, open mind, try to find new ideas, fresh out the box. Ooh-wee. God gave us a vision to see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination. Ooh-wee. God gave us a vision to see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination. Praise and dance, got a groovy sound on the gospel dial, got stylish percussion knocking and thumbing while cruising with the Lord on 95, diverse with musical amenities, to give you just what your family needs, a verse without a curse nor offense MC, like to keep it fresh and so, so clean, like Benjamin Andre and Big Boy, creatively thinking fans here's more for your speaker box, fresh out the box, we gon' top the charts, Jesus still rocks, ooh-wee, God gave us a vision to see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination. Ooh-wee, God gave us a vision, see beyond our physical present, manifest our destination, spiritually exploring your imagination.
So don't worry about what people say, stay authentic to you, love who you are.
So that was Fish Out the Box by Andre Nostalgic, and we've just lost 2/3 of our listeners.
Oh, no.
Jesus, fuck. Oh, see, this. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's about what I feared there.
Yeah, same. That's exactly what I thought it was going to sound like.
When I was a god botherer back in the day, you remember when I was a god botherer, Wayne? You know, back
in, I never met you in the god bothering days.
I used to be a church goer, and I used to go all the time, and I loved it. And this is what was playing back then. It hasn't evolved. It's still the same. I loved it back then because, you know, I was all for the Jesus. I was all for that. But as time went on and I discovered sex, drugs and rock and roll, the light, the other light.
The better church.
the better church. I kind of went away from this. But this, it hasn't, I don't know. Maybe the music has on the whole changed and this it's just this one artist, but this felt very dated. But again, music's subjective and there's probably a shitload of people out there that are like this. I wouldn't get on with those people, but there's probably a lot of people. Catnip.
Yeah, that's when I heard his name, for some reason I immediately thought it was a rapper. And then you told me about how he was religious. Yeah, I kind of made that connection of, okay, I'm curious how much he's going to be talking about Jesus, but more like rapping about Jesus.
And you were right.
So it wasn't my go-to. I could get on with it more if it was maybe not a drum machine.
Oh, wasn't it horrible?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it was just like, it was just a drum machine, and then there was the soulful kind of backup vocals and... I don't know. There were some things that could have been good if it was more acoustic, I guess, in a sense. But yeah, not my jam.
I was saddened that it wasn't a little more like what I was expecting, because that would have been nice for me. It's interesting. It's like, I don't know if you all remember Will Smith before he was slapping people on TV. He actually was a rapper. It sounded very much like that, and that's I think what you're getting at, Rich, there, the datedness of it. It just felt like cut and paste or paint by numbers rap.
I know you're saying about Will Smith, but even that didn't feel this cheesy. I don't know if it's just because of the Jesus element, but those drums, they felt so synthetic. I don't know if you've seen them. They're like it's a Yamaha drum pad thing that you can get. It's an electronic drum pad thing. And it's okay for practicing on, I suppose, but the sounds are not good. And it felt like they were using something like that.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, in defense of the humble drum machine, I was going to say that, you know, for certain kinds of music, that's exactly what they're looking for. You know, so I don't know. I didn't think it sounded good, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah. For practice, I had kind of a vendetta against drum machine, electric drums, because I had one even before I was playing drums and in my apartment, and I just never wanted to play on it because there's no feel. You can't even really get anything other than maybe some muscle memory, but I don't know. And I feel that same way it comes across in the song. There's no feel to me. But.
Yeah, I listened to a band the other week, went to see a band near me, and they had an electric drum kit. It was an expensive one, it wasn't a cheap one, but I do see if it's got to be a good drum kit though. Like this one was a good one, and if you've got a good drum kit, you can get the levels just right. So I'm listening to it just fit perfect in the mix. It was just nice, whereas if you go an acoustic kit, sometimes with being behind the drums, you can't hear what's out in the audience, and it doesn't go in the mix properly. Whereas this, it was perfectly in the mix. But this again, this didn't sound like a good drum machine, and I feel like we're spending too much time on this song. Mike, what did you think of this?
So first of all, I don't like to criticise people that have gone to the effort of writing and recording a song. So let's just get that out there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to criticise them anyway. Yeah.
however, I think it's puritanical, god-bothering, cheesy shite. I can't stand a single second of it.
Jeez.
And I'm really sorry to have to say that because I'm a big supporter of people writing and recording music. I hate it. I think that the drum machine. So look, if you listen to Talking Heads, Stop Making Sense, their live DVD, he walks on stage with a tape player and an acoustic guitar, and he puts on a beat that sounds like that of a tape, and it sounds absolutely amazing because it's a brilliant song. It's not about the drum beat. This is a terrible song. Everything about it is, it's produced badly, it's shoving religion down my throat, which I can't stand. And it's doing it in a terrible, insincere way. And I feel sorry for people that sort of get lost in this cult of religion, which is all nonsense in my view, because it's just, you know, it just ruins. Perhaps he's a very talented artist that could go and do other stuff, but he's sort of tainted by all this nonsense going on. So I'm really sorry to give a negative review. I can't find a single thing I like about it. I hope someone out there loves it, but... like you said, Richie, me and them aren't going to get on.
Maybe we're spending far too much time on this song as well, and we can edit this out. But here's the thing. It's like, you know, we've talked about it being subjective. And in defense of this song, I mean, I could say the same thing about the previous track, which is just kind of pushing this kind of feel-good Cats in the Jungle stuff as well. You know, and that's another point of view, and it's something people buy into and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just being so broad-minded I'm disappearing up my own bum, but, you know, it was just like, well, you could apply that to anything.
No, you're right, and music is subjective, and like I said earlier, we don't like this song, but there are people out there that will hear this and they will love it. And
yeah, but what has Jesus ever done for you? Right.
Nothing. That's why I rejected him in the end.
I'm no longer on the fence after that.
I fell off the fence, mate.
No, I never was, but no. Just no.
But yeah, Wayne.
Wow. So it's up to me to tidy this up then.
Sorry.
Right, so I've got a very mixed review on this. So, I mean, the minute it started, I was sort of bopping my head going, okay, where's this going? It wasn't expecting at all because, you know, you mentioned Earth, Wind & Fire. I'm going, okay, it's funky. This is more low-end Black Eyed Peas and Outkast and of that time, like you were saying, Rich, of that time of music. And then you get to that point, which I presume is the chorus where the lady starts singing. I liked her voice. I liked the way she sang. I thought that was fine. I thought the rapping and the lyrics, because they don't rhyme, they're nonsensical. I was like, but why did you do that? You've just totally just flattened your point by not having it rhyme. I did like the licks, the ooies and the yeahs and that stuff. I thought they were quite fun and entertaining. It is far too long by about a minute. No need for a song to be that long when you're just doing the same thing over and over. And I've been on the I-95. Our God doesn't like it there. Move on.
The ooey's were out of tune, though. That's the thing as well. Like, even that bit, it's like, that could have been a nice touch, but it was out of tune. Like,
come on, guys. Well, honestly, Catnip, this is the worst episode for you to ever jump. This has been... it's never usually this bad. Most of this is going to have to be edited to an inch of its life. Yeah, Mike, probably going to edit you completely
out. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But yeah, no.
You'll just replay this, Mike, and you'll just go, oh, and Mike's disappeared. He must have gone for another pizza.
That's fine.
You've absolutely bashed the Christian religion, not even bothered to ask Catnip if they're, you know, they might be churchgoers themselves. We've just sat here and just bashed the religion. I mean,
we've been talking to Catnip for an hour and they've not tried to shove it down my throat. If you are, that's fine. You've not spent the last hour trying to throw it in my face, whereas this guy spent, well, as Wayne said, at least 2 minutes too longer than he should have trying to... Yeah, anyway.
Okay, right, moving on.
Wait, no, we can't move on.
we've got to move on.
The thing is, you know, American Christianity at the moment is about as far as you can get from Jesus as, you know, as you can get. So I'm not on that boat. It's so much hypocrisy. It's, you know, so don't get me wrong. I'm not on that wagon.
Okay. Yeah, I know you mean. You've got like the likes of Kenneth Copeland and Jimmy Swaggart and people like that, and they've got their own private jets and everything. So yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. But, that's a whole other subject for a different podcast. And so we're going to move on to our next section, which is the Intense Hardcore Genre Musical Challenge Mode. Go!
Intense Hardcore Genre Musical Challenge Mode!
This is that section where I'm challenged to go away and find a certain genre. Wayne usually goes through the genre bible, finds a genre, I go away, find a piece of music from that genre I like and bring it to the show. So yeah, this week I was challenged to go away and find some music from the genre of Junkanoo, which is a... Wayne, tell me about Junkanoo, please, because I forgot.
Okay, so it is primarily from the island, the island of the Bahamas. It is a street parade, music, dance, costume, festival-y type thing. And it comes around Boxing Day, New Year's Day, every year. You know, imagine like they do in Rio, but in the Bahamas. And this evolved from... the emancipation of the slaves in America, and it's a tradition that's continued and evolved, and that's pretty much it. It is what it is, a festival of dance and song, and that's where this music comes from.
Yeah, it's a lot of singing the same words over and over again. There's no like real, I mean, there is a message, but it's just like fun music with
fun. That's it, yeah.
It's fun music. You remember that, like, you know, the song from the 90s, like, I like to move it, move it. I like that's to move one. It, move that kind of thing. You know, there's no, yeah. So the song that has been brought for the genre section this week is D-Mac with the song De Gaulin Song.
She gonna marry me,
oh, yeah.
But she run away. She promised she'd be faithful to me,
oh, yeah.
But she scheme on me. Say she take all my money,
oh, yeah.
She take my car,
oh, yeah.
My virginity,
oh, yeah.
Is with her now,
oh, yeah.
Not going crazy,
oh, yeah.
Can't even sleep,
oh, yeah.
Can't even eat,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to drink,
oh, yeah.
I should've listened to mommy,
oh, yeah.
I should've listened to papi.
Oh, yeah.
My this girl has the heart to take my ring.
Oh, yeah.
I nearly married the golem. 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 Rick and Scrap. Says she promised she gonna marry me.
Oh yeah.
Then she run away. Man, she promised she'd be faithful to me.
Oh, yeah.
But then I catch her with Stevie. Say she take all my money.
Oh yeah.
She take my car.
Oh yeah.
My virginity.
Oh yeah.
Is with her now.
Oh yeah.
Now I get a little crazy.
Oh yeah.
Can't even sleep.
Oh yeah.
I can't even eat.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want nothing to drink.
Oh yeah.
I should've listened to mommy.
Oh, yeah.
I should've listened to papi.
Oh, yeah.
Man, this girl, so
oh,
cool,
yeah.
She take my ring.
Oh, yeah.
I nearly married the golem. Watch it for them wolf and she flirt now. I nearly married the golem. Clean on the outside and the devil on the end. I nearly married the golem. Man, she's the one who proposed to me. I nearly married the golem. Now I got a new girl. So, yeah. Wine, 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 wine. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. Go down, 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 down. Oh, come up, 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 up. Oh, yeah. Wine, 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 wine. Come on, yeah. Shake, 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 shake. Go down, down, oh, go down, down. Come up, 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 up. Now freeze. Yeah, your thought was finishing. Everybody clap your hand. That's it. Come on. Jump with your style. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Turn, 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 turn. To the bow, 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 bow. To the port, 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 port. Now stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Hey. Stern, 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 stern. Now bow, 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 bow.
Let's do the gun slide. Come on. Knock on Johnny.
And it just ended that abruptly. So that was the Dagorlin song, D-Mac. I didn't just stop it because I got fed up of it, although I did. But at one point, he ran out of things to say and just started mentioning different parts of a boat. It was fun. I will say that. It was fun. It was something you could have a bop to. If I dropped an ecstasy pill, I'd be all over this.
It's like DJ Gold for a wedding.
Yeah.
Because it's like, just put on and tells people what to dance.
Yeah. Wayne, what did you think?
This is the equivalent of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers in a film. Wise, because Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is obviously about seven men going and kidnapping seven women and forcing them to marry him. This is the opposite of that, where he gets out of the situation and then he's really happy about it. But if you listen to the song, it's really quite dark. You know, he sort of like dodges a bullet at the last minute because this girl he's going to marry is just not good. But it's done in such a happy way that you don't mind. You're just like, oh yeah, he's singing about Starboard. I don't think I've ever heard Starboard mentioned in a song, let alone repeated times. Oh, which is really impressive. The whole genre for me is just fun and it's light and I like it a lot.
Catnip.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I like how he would just yell things out like, music, to kind of just remind us that that's what we're doing. We're listening to that song and it was fun. It did remind me of some popular songs that you would hear at a white person's wedding.
Yeah.
Where they have these songs that I can't even think of the names of them now, but you know, we've all heard them. We've all danced to them at one point or another. So.
It had an actual, not musically, but you know, the whole bow to stern, port to starboard, Macarena element to it.
Yeah.
Because that's what people would be doing, you know, go to the port. Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah. Go back, go forward, go left, go right. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yep.
Yeah. But if you're actually dancing to it, and instead of going go forward, go back, he's going go starboard, go port. You'd be thinking, where the fuck am I moving? What am I doing? Be the most awkward dance ever. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
It's not a song for the landlubber.
No, it's definitely not.
I'm so down. That just totally went over my head. I wasn't even knowing that he was saying directions on a ship. I just got that just now. So
you weren't in the Navy.
Yeah, I'd be screwed.
Mike.
It was definitely, I think it was described very well by Ari in that he seemed to just be sort of shouting things that he saw. It was kind of like, lamp, shell. So I don't know, he's had a night out, he's ended up on a boat. We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been on a boat. Fucked up.
Yeah, no, I once slept on the carousel on Brighton Beach.
Oh, and, yes.
When I had to use the poor people who worked there had to use their uniforms that they sort of stored there as a blanket. It felt like that kind of night where you wake up the next morning and you wear a jumper and see. It was that kind of thing. So, yeah, no, I enjoyed it immensely because it reminded me of Scooter and sleeping on a carousel.
Yeah, so that was the Dagorlin song by D-Mac. I will leave links to that in the show notes, so if you fancy listening to that again or putting it on your playlist, you'll be able to do that. Yeah, so next section, the history section.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to History Corner. Come and take a pew as it is, or take a seat, get comfortable. On the last episode, we talked about all religious music, and I said, abandon all hope, all you enter after this point, and this is the reason why. So you could take the red pill, or you can take the blue pill. The blue pill, you turn the podcast off, and you wake up in your bed, and everything's fine. Or you could take the red pill, and come with me down this rabbit hole. On this chapter 7 of the history section, we are going to be talking about how palm readers are full of shit. Sort of. So we're going to be talking about The Shags and their song Philosophy of the World from 1969. Now, this song and this band was recommended to me by a friend who thought I would find it interesting. And you know what? He was right. Let's start by explaining what this is. This is outsider music, this is. This is directly from Wiki. It's created by Self-taught and naive musicians who have little or no traditional music experience. They exhibit childlike qualities in their music. They are lo-fi artists who rarely record on anything other than cassette recorders. Now, the Shags were the three Wiggins sisters, Dot, Helen and Betty, and they were from New Hampshire. Their dad, Austin Wiggins, was told by his mystic mother she had a premonition that that he would marry a blonde-haired, a woman with strawberry blonde hair, sorry, and he would have two sons, which he would not live to see, and then he would have three daughters who would go on to form the greatest musical rock band in the world. Now, this is Philosophy of the World by The Shags. Enjoy.
Says something about the quality of this episode when that's not the worst song that's been played.
Oh, so that was the Shags with Philosophy of the World. I've got lots of lovely information about these guys. What's the chap's name? Austin Wiggins dragged his kids out of, dragged the three girls out of school on this, you know, on this premonition of his mother saying these three girls will create the greatest band ever. He took them out of school. He sold all his possessions, bought loads of instruments for an occasional music lesson. And then sent him into a studio and they recorded the entire album of Philosophy of the World in one day. How about that? One day. Who'd have thought it?
Hard to believe.
The few local gigs the Shags played were described as something akin to a Porto to Hell opening up. There's lots of great stuff about this. That apparently the music producer absconded with money and some of the copies of the original pressings of this. I mean,
why?
I don't know. I love the fact that he did. He obviously bought into that whole thing as well. He also told them that he thought the girls needed more practice, to which Austin Wiggins said, "I want to get them while they're fresh."
To which Austin Wiggins said, "No shit."
Now here's the bits that I absolutely love. So, Frank Zappa, the band NRBQ, and Kurt Cobain counted themselves as fans of the Shags, and music critic Lester Bangs said of the Shags album, "They recorded an album in New England that can easily stand up with the Beatles' 65, Life with Lions, Billy Bragg, and Blonde on Blonde, and Teenage Jesus and the Jerks as one of the landmarks of rock and roll history. They can't play a lick, but mainly they get the right attitude, which rock and roll has always been about." Hmm. I mean, there was lots and lots. This is one of my favourite ones for doing the history session. I knew nothing of this band coming into it. And the stuff you can find on these guys. I read one article where this guy was saying he puts the album on when he's feeling like he's stuck, when he's trying to write an article or do something for YouTube or something, because it loosens him up. And it's like, if they can do it, then I can do it, sort of thing. And there's a whole section of it. Just search the Shags. It's incredible. You know what? This isn't the least... This is an accessible song. There are songs on that album that are impossible to listen to. It's honestly, I feel like there is a portal to hell going to open up if I play that song up through the stereo. Catnip.
Yeah, there are times where I almost felt like I could imagine them forgetting the words and just kind of like making similar sounds.
No, that was rehearsal earlier.
Maybe, but there was something. Just the way that they sang, it was hard to not only listen to the vocals, kind of just this like someone singing in the shower and not knowing exactly the words of the songs. That's kind of what I was getting.
I got really mixed feelings about this sort of thing, because part of me, you know, to the point that was made earlier, it's like that raw punk rock, you know, two fingers up to the world, whether it's deliberate or not in this instance.
Yeah.
I really like that kind of energy of it, but... You know, the other side of it is like, you know, there's so many bands out there that kind of are the modern equivalent of this just because of the access to recording technology. And it's just sucking up so much oxygen. And, you know, then they go out and get famous and make a lot of money because they're so bad. Well, I'm just so bad.
There's got to be something about them that's maybe like bringing something new or different that people are liking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just hard for me to get past. I mean, I like the trashiness of it. Yeah. I like the trashiness of kind of what they're bringing. But
I think the real question with this kind of recording is like whether they think it's like really, really tight and really, really good.
Right, like what are their intentions?
Recognize the fact that it's shambolic as hell, and you get the sense with them, they actually thought this was really tight and good, you know, based on what we've
heard. I don't know though. Maybe they were like, "This is if as long as we just bring a certain attitude and like a vibe, it doesn't matter what the hell we're singing or saying." It's like what I got from it.
We're looking at the Wikipedia page right now.
We'll put a pin in that and come back to that in a bit. So I've got a couple of theories on that. Mike Five.
So yeah, It's not the worst song we've played. It's okay. I like it. I'm a punk fan. I'm a fan of that kind of everyone just do something and be creative and have a good time. I think the most successful songs for me in this vein are probably the ones where they can play their instruments a bit better and play in time. I don't.
You mean like a normal band?
I don't necessarily, based on what you were saying about their, you know, there's a vision and their dad dragged them out of school and all the rest of it, I don't think there's necessarily an intentional experimental edge to this or let's be really obscure. I think they probably just can't play very well, but that's not too. That's not to sort of knock the fact that they tried and they were being creative. But no, it's not really, it's not successful for me, but I admire what it is. And I also quite like the fact that someone went, "I really believe in this crazy vision and also my children enough to make this madness happen." And fair play. I can't knock that. So I kind of like it. I'm very anti-establishment, a bit more kind of let's just fucking do it kind of thing, but I don't think it is that. They either possibly thought they were amazing or felt forced into doing it. I'm not sure which. It could have been a lot worse.
To me, it sounded like, it sounded like a fucking mess, let's be honest. But the drums, everything was out of time a lot of the time. It wasn't in time. It's kind of like you got somebody who wanted to play the drums and they've learned some of the basics. You got somebody who wants to play the guitar, they've learned the basics of the guitar, they've learned some chords. And you got a singer who can kind of sing, and then somebody's gone, right, you three, come together right now and do something together, even though you've never played in a band or with someone else, and see what happens. So they've got kind of like basics, but they don't know how to put those basics together with other basics of other instruments type thing. So it's kind of like they've just shit the bed when they got together, and it should never have been recorded. It shouldn't still exist. I don't see the point. It's been an awful episode, let's be honest. And then you've just...
Is that my scathing episode? I mean, look, the head-to-head was good. We all enjoyed the head-to-head. But after that...
A catnip. Well, I mean, for the artist spotlight, the bar hasn't been set very high at all. I mean, you're going to smash this.
We're going to sound real good.
Can I say one last thing? You can edit it out. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I would be more likely to listen to that Shags thing than the soft rock track we heard earlier.
The one that I brought for the head-to-head.
Yeah, because I found it offensive in a different way. And again, I'm not being...
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
We didn't ask you for a favourite in the head-to-head, did we? Did you have a favourite?
Oh, yeah. Did you have a favourite song in the head-to-head, Catnip?
What was the head-to-head again?
It was the Sea of the Star.
Oh, I think the Punjabi song, for sure. That was my...
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah. That's true. Because it didn't make the list of bad, you know? I feel like from there, we kind of just went downhill.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Wayne, anything else to add? You said you were going to stick a pin in something, come back to it.
You know what? We're up to 2 hours. Let's just move on. It doesn't matter. Come back next time to the History Corner and we'll be talking about science, innit?
Brilliant.
Now let's move on to the artist spotlight.
Guys, you have been on an absolute journey with us today. Oh my God, I can't apologise enough. I don't know what's happened. I hope you've had a little bit of fun at least.
Oh, it's been a blast. It's been a blast.
It's been an experience. So, Catnip, do you want to kick things off with the artist spotlight just by telling us a bit about you, who you are, and your sound, and your mission, and all that good stuff?
Can I say it in a robot voice?
You do it however you want.
Catnip is basically, it's pretty much classic rock, hopefully with a bit more of a modern twist to it. It's very informed by kind of Pixies, Nirvana, Beatles, kind of stuff. That's the kind of angle where we're trying to take to it. So nothing terribly fancy about it. And the new album, Catnip 4, came out on April 22nd. I play almost all the instruments on it. I learned how to drum for it and that kind of stuff. And it was intended to be really viscerally lean as a record. I wanted it to sound like a demo, but with platinum production, which I think we achieved. And it's just trying to bring energy and clarity and actually singing into some rock music. So I don't know. That's kind of where I've been lately in my head, just a little less reverb, a little more melody, a little more clear vocals, a little more actual singing, and I'm really pleased with it. I think it's the favorite album I've ever made, but I'd like to hear Ari comment on the music.
Gosh, yeah. Well, I have an interesting take on it all because I obviously was not part of generating the songs or orchestrating the drums by any means. So I have a complete listener's approach, I guess, to Catnip in itself, but now finding my own way into being part of the band has been really awesome too, because there is a lot of fun in the songs. It's been really cool listening to them and learning how to play them, but then trying to bring your own energy and finding your own kind of spin on it, but while still respecting the song, has been really cool as we've been practicing for the last couple months. And it's nice, like, I'm more and more enjoying the songs the more I'm playing them, which is a good thing. You don't want to feel the opposite.
What have I got into?
So we'll see. Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun on tour. I think it's the songs have a lot of potential to have just like in your face, but in a fun way, not in an aggressive way.
Ari, you recently joined the band. I think I heard Henderson say earlier that you reached out to them. What was it that made you want to reach out to them?
Well, I have a family member out of Missoula, which is where Kevin lives. I live in Spokane. And there was something that just kind of called me to look on the Craigslist page in Missoula, because I do have goals to be a working drummer to some degree and have more experience in that. And the only ad that I really saw and the first one that was there was Catnip logo, the Catnip band logo, looking for a drummer for a Pacific Northwest tour. And it just kind of went from there. I looked up Catnip on Spotify, not having any clue what to expect. And I played Architecture of Berlin was the first song I played. And it was immediately just like, oh, this is fun. This is, I can easily hear the instruments. I can feel kind of what he's going for. And so I felt comfortable to reach out to him, stalked him for a little bit, made sure he wasn't a weirdo and living in his mom's basement, and invited him to come out and meet me if he was interested. I sent him an album that I had done with a local band here in Spokane of mine, and yeah, just kind of kept happening. There was nothing that was a red flag. I was again, you know, young single female meeting these random people off the internet, you usually don't have that much luck, but it's been really awesome so far, and I kind of am feeling that we're going to have a lot of fun on tour. I haven't actually even met the other member of this band, which is crazy. His name's Ian, and he's the guitar player who's practicing out in California. So I don't know. I just have a really good feeling about it, though. And it's been that way since me and Kevin met. So
awesome. Last time we had any contact with you, you were pushing the song and the video game, The System. You had a... The video had a bit of an Electric Six type of vibe about it. You had a female bass guitarist then, I think. At least you did on the video.
Yeah, Kevin, tell us about that.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about that was I had a concept for that video, which is it's actually me doing all three roles. So I had the beard as the drummer, then I shaved and did the singer, and then I shaved again, you know, from the goatee, and I cross-dressed as the bass player. Natalie Shatner.
That was me.
Oh, that's disgusting, because I was really attracted to you. Oh, my God.
You what? Definitely did, didn't you? You did, didn't you? You did, didn't you? You did.
Yeah,
oh.
Did you?
That's hilarious. He also filmed it all himself, too.
Yeah.
Really?
Which was great. So really, you just did the whole thing.
Yeah, very, very DIY. I did have a professional makeup artist who helped out, though, and that's why you were so attractive.
Yeah, we'll blame it on that. You know, I hope you should dress like that for one of our sets.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear some kind of Franz outfit, I think, on tour, which should be good.
And this tour that you're doing, how far does it span?
Yeah, so we're starting in Missoula on the 25th of May, then we're going to Seattle for the 26th, I think, then Portland on the 27th, Olympia, Washington, I think, on the 28th, and back to Portland again on the 29th. Then up to Bellingham, Washington on... Oh, no, 29th and 30th are off. And then up to Bellingham, Washington, I think on like the 1st. Then I think down to Eugene, Oregon for the 2nd or 3rd. And then back to Missoula.
Yeah, so short story long, not spanning too far. We're staying within like the... Well, like three states,
But it's America, so, I mean, we're going to do about 2,000 miles of driving.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a lot, but... But yeah, we got some very good gigs. There's a gig in Portland, which is Alberta Street Pub, which is a really good gig, kind of a famous gig. And then Sam Bond's Garage in Eugene, Oregon is, a great gig. So we're going to have a great time.
The touring thing, it must be very nerve-wracking because I've been in a few bands, but I've never toured. And it's kind of like, how do you organise? How do you know that you're going to get enough people at the venues, at the places where you're playing? Because you don't come from there. You probably don't know the places. How do you organise that there's going to be, I don't know, let's say you've got a 500-person venue. How do you know you're going to be able to pack that out?
Yeah, you really don't. You know, especially our first tour, we're going to try to promote it as well as we can. We're connecting with local bands who have followings, so... You know, the idea is if we find a lineup that has similar enough music that it's all going to play well together, that they're going to bring their fans, and hopefully it's going to be enough to kind of get some bodies in the room. And, you know, we've got a couple bands we've hooked up with that we're going to play a couple shows with in different cities, you know, so that's worked out really well. But I expect fully to have a couple shows where we're playing to a man and his dog, and, you know, it's going to happen, but, you know.
Yeah, hopefully the venues will be small enough where 10 people, you're like, oh, this is pretty busy.
I think... Wayne, one of our best gigs. I think we just played to the bands that were playing with us, didn't we?
Yeah, over in the Go Club it was, wasn't it? It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it was a strange situation. We was outside talking and...
Here we go.
I love this. We were ready to play, and so we had to go. God, this has been back about 12, 13 years now, isn't it?
Yeah, easily. So 14.
We're ready to play. So just before, we've been talking to the other bands, and there's a singer-songwriter, and Wayne says, "Right then, come on, let's go." And he smacks the arse of this singer-songwriter. I don't even know his name, never met the bloke, and he just smacks his arse like it's normal.
Do you remember what I said to him?
No.
I do. I smacked him on the arse, looked him square in the eyes and went, "Well, that was inappropriate, wasn't it?"
we just played to the bands that night, but it was such a good gig. I mean, sometimes I think you just look at it as like a live rehearsal type thing rather than looking at it as a bad thing.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
But I think with the tour thing, there's a lot more money goes into it. It's early, it's like one of your first tours. You probably put more money into it than you're probably going to get out of it.
Yeah. And
you're not doing it for the money, though, are you, really? So...
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be able to break even on it, and you know, we've invested in a little bit of merchandise, and that, you know, the merchandise is what's going to make or break actually the financial side of it, I think, you know. And yes, of course, that's contingent on people showing up, but you know, that's kind of where the margin of error is, I think. So you know, so that'll be good.
So we're in May, which is it's the 1st of May. It feels like the 4th of May now after all this, but it's the 1st of May. And you've got a few months left to the end of the year. Have you got much planned for the rest of this year?
We're probably going to play a show in August in Missoula, and then we're working with a couple of other bands on doing a kind of very cool Halloween show, which should be a lot of fun. You know, so that's loosely what we're thinking of doing. But really, we focused on this tour as kind of the main event for 2022. Mm. And then probably, depending how things go and if we don't kill each other, I'm recording another album.
So you plan on doing some more writing this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually recorded an EP as a solo thing recently that I put out, and it actually beat the album out, even though it was recorded after it. You got to constantly be writing.
Yeah. I suppose with the lockdown, you had plenty of time to do that as well. I suppose that was one good thing that came out of the lockdown, especially for artists. Although the gigs had stopped and the money had stopped, it gave artists plenty of time to write new music for when the gigs eventually did come round. Is that something that you found?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're up to our next in kind of pandemic COVID album. So I think that train has kind of left the station. But I totally agree. It's like it put us in a position to be able to have songs ready, have all of our social media built out, have our, you know, websites and all that kind of stuff all just queued up, so that when we did go on tour, there's plenty of content and plenty of ways to find out more about the band, you know. So it was kind of, it gave breathing space to build a foundation, you know, to launch back into the live music scene.
So if our listeners now, followers, want to find Catnip, where can they find you?
Best thing's probably the website, which is catnip.com, and it's catnip with a Y. You can pretty much find your way from there to any social media or music platforms. So.
Yeah, to listen, though, we got good stuff on Spotify.
Yeah, easy to find, Catnip with a Y on Spotify.
Excellent. Yeah, Catnip with a Y. That's not KYT nip, that's KATNYP. Don't know why there would be a fucking Y in this place, haven't I? Oh, God. It's been a long day.
Quite nab.
Right. I'm spent. I am spent. Anything else to add, Wayne, Mike?
This has been a long-ass episode.
Yeah, it really has. I'm not looking forward to editing this at all. Thank you, guys, for your patience and putting up with us.
it was a lot of fun. And
yeah, thanks for having us.
God, they're going to say so many bad things about us after the mic's turned off. Thank you guys for joining us. It's been an absolute...
You can do it now if you want.
God, right, so we're done. Catnip, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Mike Five, thank you. Wayne, thank you. If you want to find our artists that have been played, if you want to listen to the music, you can... Actually, before we go, we're going to play out with your song. What's it? What do you want to tell us a bit about this song?
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Yeah, so this is Redhead. It's kind of the final focus track that we're releasing, that we released ahead of the album. So it's kind of the one that's out there now. And I like it as a songwriter because I've just done some things on it that I have never done before, like changing key halfway through the verse. I played all the instruments on it, so I just really like the sound I got out of the guitar. I like my singing on it. I'm really pleased with how it came out, and I also think it'd be a really good driving song. It's basically a song that is meant to be kind of, you know, if you just ended a relationship and kind of, you know, just getting in your car and driving. So it's a good, I think it's a good driving song. That's basically the theme behind it.
Excellent. So yeah, again, thank you guys for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Wayne, Mike, thank you. And until next time, I've been Richie.
I've been Wayne.
I've been Mike.
And our guests have been...
We have been Ari and Henderson from Catnip.
Thank you for listening, if indeed you still are.
Had the chance to be up early and watch people running around being healthy while we're drinking Bloody Marys and listening to some live music, so it was fun.
Well, I was next door earlier having myself a fucking Tina, so it's
nice.
So right, okay, that was a bad joke, I'll probably edit that out.
I'm sure Henderson will have plenty of those, so
I'm so sorry. Oh, mate, I've got my son with me. I'm going to have to edit that bit out. No, it's all right. We set a chat. It's all right. My son just said over the mic, I have to wipe my own bum for a poo, don't I?
Don't to be fair, it's a question really I ask funny. A lot as well.
Oh, God.
Me too, yeah.
This is going to be such a difficult episode. It is that section again where I am challenged each week to go away and talk, just learn to talk. That's what I'm challenged to do.
The I didn't realize you liked me that way deal. Because it's one thing to receive McDonald's, but an entirely other thing to know that they woke up early to face the world and bring you McDonald's breakfast still hot in the bag.
Appreciate you.
There's a deal for every morning. Now grab two loaded sausage burritos for only $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.